The Computer Man. This segment sponsored by Micro Center. Mike and Peter are here from Micro Center. Good to have you aboard, boys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Here's something that you were saying is, by the way, 312-981-7200. If you have a question for them about problems or anything that's concerning you regarding your computer or computers in general. It's interesting, Mike, because the computer, if you've got a tower that is a desktop, your computer is essentially, or Peter, I guess you said this, essentially it's a room air purifier because it's got those fans constantly, 24 hours a day, recycling the room air. And that's actually a problem. Not for your breathing health, but for the computer's health.
Yeah, it can definitely take its toll. I mean, most people don't tend to look at what's inside the system or even at it if there isn't a problem with the actual box there that does all your work for you.
But I've taken my computer in to Micro Center over the years, and you guys open it up, and in the beginning, I would be astounded. It's just like a dust explosion takes place. So the inside is coated with dust.
It does a pretty good job at collecting it, that's for sure. You know, it's a good rule of thumb to definitely clean it out. I would say once every couple of months or so, give or take.
What does that mean to clean it out?
You know, you can pick up the compressed cans of air / CO2 and, you know, just blowing it through the vents, and you don't even have to blow it hard. I would actually suggest against blowing it really hard because you'll spin up the fans, but just to periodically dust it out. If you really want to get adventurous, you could pop the side panel off. Most of them are relatively easy. Some are kind of complicated depending on how manufacturers designed it. But going through the system heat sinks and fan assemblies can definitely do it some good. Usually, if it's really dusty, you'll probably want to take it out of the room because that dust is just going to end up back in the living area that you're currently using the system in. So that's something, a good rule of thumb. It's something we do every time we have a system in the shop. Like to keep them clean and tidy.
And Peter, the cell phone, that is a bacteria forest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you touch it every day. You go, you know, with your hands, you do everything possible. And, well, all the germs, you know, potentially, then you put it next to your face. You leave your phone, you know, on the desk and everything. That just collects germs and everything. It's very nice to clean them once in a while. I mean, once a day would be very nice.
But then what is that, getting an alcohol wipe and just swabbing it down?
Yeah, that's a very good idea. There's a company out there, I forgot exactly what it's called, but they make these boxes where you can put your phone in it and it has this UV lights, which sterilizes your phone.
Ultraviolet light, which is a purifier, yeah.
Right, and it cleans it up.
Yeah, you know, the key thing would be to look for just any electronic wipe out there, and they'll specifically label them for that, and you can use that to clean the screens. That's definitely a must. They just collect so much germs over, you know, over the course of use, and the same thing would probably go for your keyboard and your mouse. Very commonly touched, handled components that don't see a cleaning very often. I can't tell you how many times just before I even commence work on any system, I definitely do a good scrubbing of the actual keyboard and mouse just because we handle so many of them so often. Every day, it's something to just for your own personal health and sake of cleanliness.
Yeah, so that's for health reasons. But the first point about cleaning out that tower is essential. How about laptops? They have fans too. Are they sucking up a lot of dust?
Oh, yeah. I can't, probably about three or four systems in the last week alone. I can't tell you how often I have to clean them out, but I've already replaced CPU fans for those systems because they're grinding, they're making really nasty sounds, and when I take them apart, they're just clogged with dust.
So it's simply because now what do? You take one of those compressed air cans. Some of them have a little straw, red straw attached to them. Just jam that into openings and let it rip?
More or less, yes. I wouldn't go too crazy. Again, going with the don't spin up your fans too much because when you do that with the fans, it feeds back, you know, a signal back into the system and it can cause some harm to the unit. But it's typically just, you know, light spurts of the actual compressor or can of air that you got, and definitely you'll see some dust coming out.
Yeah. So you get machines that break down simply because the fans went out, and that was because of the dust that built up. And when the fans aren't working, that means the boards are overheating, and that can cause problems for them too.
Yep, it will definitely shorten the lifespan of a system. You don't really think of it, but it's one of those, it's kind of like a silent killer. So it's going to cause the fans to run less efficiently, eventually not to function at all, clogging up the heat sinks. Heat sinks is what dissipates the heat on the computer, and when your system runs hotter, components last a lot less.
Mike and Peter are the two tech guys on my show this week. They are from Micro Center, and if you've got a question, these are great resources to have. They can help you out. Questions about upgrading your computer, virus issues, any or all manner of questions that there are about the wonderful world of computers, which are now pretty much an essential in every home and office in America. You know the number. It's 312-981-7200. That's also our text number. So if you don't want to talk, or you're, well, I was going to say if you're driving, you can do that. That would be dangerous too. But you've got the two options. We'll ask your question on the air, or you can ask it yourself here on the Bill Maher Show on 720 WGN Chicago. Back with your calls here with the two Micro Center tech guys, Peter and Mike. First up is Bob. Hi, Bob. Tell us about your phone problem.
Hi there. I'm trying to help out a friend that has AT&T U-verse. And we just purchased a HP 8610 printer.
Okay.
Well, to hook it up for the fax, in the one wall socket where they're bringing the telephone U-verse service out, behind the plate, they have a white wire, and it's, I'm going to call it, hardwired into the modem. Then outside the plate is the regular telephone socket, and they used a blue wire with the regular telephone end into another port into the modem.
You guys following this? Because I'm not.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say without actually being there. So what specifically is your question with it?
My question is this. I just stopped at Micro Center and picked up a DSL filter.
Okay.
It has what would be easy now is the one wire that will go into the modem, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be able to take that blue wire that originally went into the modem and stick it at the end of the filter that marked TEL. The other end of a port is marked ADSL, and I'm thinking that's where we're going to take the telephone wire from the printer and put it into that part of the filter.
All right. If you can't follow that, it might be just we need to have him come and bring it
you
in.
Might, well, that's something that might need someone actually on location. From what you're describing, I don't think that's going to quite work out. I don't think you can just split a phone line for that particular purpose. Now, I'm not 100% sure just because I haven't gone through setting up fax systems with DSL lines like that, but you might need an actual dedicated line. The best thing I could suggest is give it a shot, see if it works out. But you're probably going to have to do a little bit more research to see what the best results or the most ideal situation for that type of
network. What about bringing
it
in?
The problem is that it's something that's kind of on location.
Yeah,
you have to have
yeah.
someone on location to see what's going on. You may even be better off contacting AT&T U-verse directly to see if they can have someone come out to actually set something like that up. But that's one of those situations where you need someone kind of on hand to know the network and have everything in front of them to give you a good, proper outcome
yeah.
for the situation.
So, Bob, I'd say that's the best advice. It was hard for me to follow about all those cords and plugs that you're talking about. Real quick, does Micro Center work on TV sets?
Unfortunately, we do not.
Okay, these are text questions.
Mm-hmm.
Person has XP. Should they wait for Windows 10?
I would say yes.
It's coming
point.
Up. It's on the horizon right now. They've had a few preview candidates for it, and
so tough
good.
It out with XP, even though it's not supported. Instead of going with 7, 8, or 8.1, and wait for 10 to come out, which what would you guess within a couple of 3 months?
I don't think they gave a hard launch date. It's if anything, it's going to be at the end of the year or beginning of next year. It's a personal question. I, at this point, if you're not looking to make the investment on a new system, might wait it out. But if you need something now and your XP system's causing you a little bit of a struggle, there's no reason that you can't get something now and upgrade the OS later.
This person has Vista. It's running slow. Is there a program they can download to make a diff?
PC Tune-Up, it's actually a service that we offer to try and clean things up, speed up your system, and overall organize the contents of your computer. Very, very handy software to keep it maintained as well.
All right, John has a Windows 8.1 question. That's what I got on my laptop. John, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Yes, sir. That's what it is. I'm looking to install 8 or 8.1 in place of my Vista, which isn't doing so well anymore because it's not supported, I guess. And my question is, should I think about doing an 8 install first and then installing 8.1 over it, or is it better to just go
no,
with
no,
the
I would just grab the Windows 8.1 right away. Because Windows 8, you're buying a Windows 8 license, and then you have to do all the updates, and it's kind of harder to find the drivers for it, and it's going to be very struggle with registration and stuff like that, activation. If you're jumping straight to 8.1, it's a lot easier for drivers, for activation, and pretty much you're going to be, you know, you don't have to do any additional work to get it to where you want to be.
Yeah. Okay. And I was looking at the Microsoft website, and there's only two or three people that have had trouble installing it. And I'm thinking that it's probably fairly easy because it's clean. It just wipes out everything on the disk and starts over.
If you're going from scratch, that's definitely going to probably give you the better results. Going through the upgrade process is going to be a little bit more tricky. The big and always most important thing is if you have important information, anything that would, you know,
cause
you, exactly, yep. cause you financial ruin, cause you heartbreak, you know, you can't live without, yeah. make sure it's saved elsewhere first.
I cut off John. I hope he had his radio on. Hey, Ruth, you're on WGN.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Your trouble with Keeper? I actually have that service. I don't know if you were listening a couple of weeks ago. The head of that company was on this show.
Yes, and I heard it, and I went on, and I purchased the Keeper, and I put all my things in. I don't know what to do with it now. I can't seem to get any answers from them.
Ruth, do this. These guys aren't going to know about that because that's a third-party product. Do this. Send me an email, and I'll give you some help, okay? Can you write down my email address?
Go ahead.
Okay, B-M-O-L-L-E-R at WGNradio.com.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, thanks.
Very helpful.
All right, you're welcome. Have a good day.
I'm the answer man. Real quick, this person is a first-generation Kindle. This is a text from 6:30. It won't charge. Is that a battery problem? My wife is having a similar issue with her iPad. It charges, but it takes all night, and all you get is like from 40 to 60%.
How old is the system? Yours?
Geez, I think it's about 2 years.
Depending on how quickly she cycles the battery or how often she's charged it, it may be that the battery itself is wearing out, but it also could be an issue with the charger. Those are the two factors that you'll have to check by getting a different charger and cable just to see what the culprit is. That's very basic troubleshooting almost anyone can do.
All right. Sorry, I can't get to more of your calls. We plowed through a good number of them today and text as well. Mike, Peter, thanks so much. Are you boys back next week?
I believe so. We'll definitely keep you in the loop. Thanks.
You never know who from the Micro Center is going to be out here. Thanks so much. We'll see you then.